And growth is a natural process, of course. We know that physical growth and human development are normal and essential. Babies are immature physically and mentally, but we expect them to grow and develop. If they don't grow, we know that there's a problem. Things aren't as they should be, and we seek help so that growth is possible. It's just the same with our faith. Wherever we are on the journey, whether we've heard about God and Jesus but aren't sure what that means for us, or whether we're ready to take the next step to know more about asking Jesus into our lives, whether we've been a Christian for a short time, or whether we've known Jesus for years, there is always a step forward that God wants us to take in order to grow in our faith. We should never stop growing in faith, and we should never stop wanting to grow in faith. As you were given your what's on this morning, you should also have received the first of the inserts to be added to our study notes cover that we picked up last week. And I would encourage you, if you have a pen or a pencil to hand, to be noting down something that speaks to you from God's word this morning and as we share it together. And perhaps then to take it home and reread the passages during the week. And perhaps then to jot down something to answer that little box at the bottom. How will you put what you have noted into practice this week? If you were with us last week, you will remember that Jeremy said that the growth that God desires within each of us is that we should know Jesus better and live in obedience to his commands. That our prayer should be, Lord, let there be less of me and more of you within me. We can't grow unless we are in communication with the one who made us. And we do that through prayer. But how do we know what we should be praying? How do we know what it is that God wants us to talk with him about? And the answer to that is that first, we should let God speak to us. So this morning, we are looking at growing through study. That is the study of God's word. And if you have your Bibles open, the key verse from our reading from 2 Timothy this morning, which is on page 1196, if you want to turn to it, is this. Verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The Bible is God-breathed. That's such a powerful and evocative image. At the beginning of God's word, beginning of Genesis, we are told, the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. After the resurrection, when Jesus appeared to the disciples who were cowering in the upper room, he breathed on them, saying, receive the Holy Spirit. The breath of God is powerful and life-giving. And Paul tells us that the scriptures have this same uniquely divine source and its same life-giving properties. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In speaking of the scriptures, Peter also puts it this way. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is God speaking to us. Who he is and what he is like is in there for us to grasp. Who we are and what we are like is also there, all too plainly revealed. And between these two polar extremes, God gives us more than enough material to begin any number of conversations with him as we ask him to unpack the truths contained in his word so that we can grow and develop in the way that he intends for us to do. So we cannot grow unless we are in communication with God through prayer, but we cannot pray as we need to unless we are in conversation with God through his word. Prayer begins with study, and it flows naturally from it. So our first point this morning, the Bible is God-breathed. It is God himself speaking to us. And why does God speak to us? God speaks because he wants us to know him. But why do we need to know God? If you ask most people out there on the streets and in our neighborhoods, they would say that they feel they're getting along fine without him. That is their perception. But are they right? Look again at verse 15. You know from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. God's word makes us wise for salvation. The Bible has the power to help us understand that we are a fallen people, to convict us of the reality of sin in the world and its power over us. You might remember a number of years ago, there was a craze for what were called stereogram 3D images. They looked like a load of close-packed random symbols. I have one, which I did mean to bring with me this morning, which just looks like a photograph of shredded paper. You look at it and it's nonsense. But if you stare through the picture rather than at it, if you kind of let your eyes go cross-eyed and defocused, then all of a sudden, an image of a bird or an animal, in the case of the one that I have at home on my desk, it's a dolphin, suddenly leaps out at you in glorious 3D. And the more you stare at it, the more amazed and shocked you are that you couldn't see it to begin with. That's something so amazing, so beautiful, you couldn't spot it to begin with, that it was virtually invisible to you, even though it was staring you right in the face. Well, so often it is like that with us and God. You remember in our psalm this morning, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they reveal knowledge. God is all around us. Everything in creation shouts out about God and declares his praise. But so often we fail to see or acknowledge him. The reason being is that sin is also all around us and within us. And to quote a well-worn phrase, we cannot therefore see the wood for the trees. Unless we can grasp who God is and what he is like, his holiness, his majesty, his power, his absolute authority, we are simply incapable of understanding who we are in contrast, and how great, therefore, is our need of him. And God's word alone can enable us to see him for who he truly is, and therefore also reveal that yawning chasm that exists between ourselves and God. A chasm we cannot hope to bridge by ourselves. And God speaks to us through his word so that we can see that truth, so that we can become wise for salvation, and are therefore open to receive the good news that we are saved, carried across that chasm. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, God's living word, who died on the cross to deal with that sin, to open our eyes to his glory, who was raised to life so that we have a future home in heaven with him. God speaks to us because he wants us to know him better and to know what he expects of us and to know that great future that he has for us today and in the days to come. But God also speaks because he wants us to grow. As we read through the Bible, there is a lot that we are able to learn from it on our own. And there are many excellent resources out there to help us develop a regular pattern of reading, prayer, and reflection. The Bible wasn't intended to be incredibly complex and hard to understand. It was always God's intention to speak to his people clearly and powerfully. Reading on our own is important and will nourish us spiritually and help us to grow. And the more we read, the more we recognize God's voice. Just as a stranger's voice becomes the familiar voice of a friend, the more often we talk to one another. And the wider we read within God's word, not always turning to our favorite passages, but getting to grips with every part of the Bible, the better we are able to grasp the different inflections in his voice and the various facets of his character, which will help us to have a fuller understanding of God. If we only ever talk about the same things with friends and neighbours, then our knowledge of them and what makes them tick stays pretty superficial. We won't, in fact, really know very much about them at all. Reading the Bible on our own is therefore an essential part of our growing in faith. But sometimes we need the help and the encouragement of others, perhaps a little bit more mature in the faith, so that we can go deeper, so that we can see things from a different or a fresh perspective. Do you remember how Philip helped the Ethiopian court official to understand the meaning of what he was reading in the book of Isaiah? He was reading about the suffering servant. And Philip was able to explain to him that the passage was speaking about Jesus. And that's why Bible study groups are so useful. There is something special that happens when a group of people get together to study God's word, to ask questions, to share insight. It would be great to form a Bible study group from this congregation. There are a few who are interested, but we need a few more people able to commit to regular study to make it sustainable. And if you're interested, please do have a word with me after the service this morning. Now, maybe you're not sure where you stand in your faith, or you're not yet ready to make a commitment to Jesus, and either way you feel you wouldn't have anything to contribute to a group. Well, we run Christianity and Life Explored courses from time to time, and they're the perfect places to ask questions and to begin to look at God's word in a relaxed and informal setting. Again, why not have a word with me after the service if you're interested in finding out more? Studying God's word helps us to grow, but it also keeps us accountable for what we believe. If you go back to our Bible reading again and look in chapter 4, verse 2, Paul charges Timothy to preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And he goes on, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. By reading the Bible regularly and consistently, by revisiting it during the following week after we've looked at a passage on a Sunday, by studying with others in a group, and doing all of these things prayerfully prevents us from creating for ourselves a distorted picture of God. A again, if we go back to chapter 3, verse 16, for all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The word of God is our measure of what the truth is. It's also our measure of what is right and wrong. It provides us with a pattern for life. And most particularly, as we come to know and trust Jesus, to allow his teachings and his example to shape and change us. It also equips us to be playing our part in making sure that those of us who stand at the front and teach are doing so in accordance with what is faithful to what is here in God's word. If we don't spend time in the Bible regularly on our own and with others, at best, we just won't grow in our understanding. But at worst, we leave ourselves open to misunderstanding and false doctrine. Paul charged Timothy to ensure that those under his care received sound teaching, just as those older in the faith had taught and nurtured him. So he was to nurture others. He was to mentor them in order that they might mentor the next generation of believers. So we read in chapter 3, verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. And then a little later in verse 14, it goes on. So continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Paul and Timothy's own family had set an example by word and deed. They had opened God's word to him. And then Timothy was able to imitate them and do that for others. And so on, down the generations of Christians that come afterwards. And that is what we are called to do. As we grow in our understanding of God's word, what we learn will have a visible impact on the way we live and worship, which will itself be a great encouragement and witness to those, to others wanting to grow in their own discipleship, in those who don't yet know the Lord and want to know more. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And it goes on, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The purpose of studying God's word is to grow in our discipleship, to be equipped to serve God and one another. It is our responsibility as church to grow in our understanding of God through his word, so that not only do we have the gospel message yet clear in our own minds and alive and at work within our own hearts, but so that we are able to help others get the message straight, so that others too might be wise for salvation. Now I accept that this is not an easy task. How much easier it would be to stay as we are, to let others do the growing, to let others take on the responsibility of nurturing young Christians in the faith. But that's not how we are meant to live. The writer to the Hebrews says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. But God doesn't expect or leave us to achieve all this on our own. We heard in our passage back in Isaiah, in Isaiah 55, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The Bible, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can and will open our eyes to see God for who he truly is and enable us to recognize our absolute need of him, to make us wise for salvation. God's word is our spiritual food, and food is essential for growth. Just as babies need to move on from milk to solids in order to promote healthy growth in their bodies, so Christians need to feed more fully on the richness of God's word in order to grow in the way that God intends for us to grow. That is to grow into the likeness of his Son. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who, that is the head, that is Christ." God is a communicator, and he has been speaking to us since the beginning. He speaks through creation. He spoke through the prophets. He speaks through scripture. And above all, he speaks through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. We can learn to know God better and to grow in the ways that he desires for each one of us by seeking to hear him in every way that he speaks to us today.